And therefore, we've got this series we're doing on Sunday nights called Teach Us to Pray. And the series is not about guilt, all right? All of us could feel guilty. Every one of us, including the pastor up here, could say, I could pray more. I need to pray more. I need to do a better job in my prayer life. So it's not about guilt. It's about growth. And what better way to grow than to have a model? And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's not something we just recite mindlessly or we sing at an event. I remember singing it often at Southwest Baptist when I was a student there. And so we, most of us, know this prayer by memory. We know the King James Version. Well, that's not what this is about. This is a model prayer. And it's a model. And so we want to learn and grow from this prayer that Jesus has given us. Now, we have to be careful anytime that we have a model, because sometimes we can misunderstand how to use that model. Matter of fact, I heard about a story in a church about a woman who was single for several years. And she told the pastor this story about how she began to pray about her circumstances. She wanted to be married. And so this was her model for praying every night. She would say, Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. And she had hung a pair of trousers on her bed, and she said, hear me if you can. I've hung this pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man. Well, God did it. She met a fine Christian man and got married in the church. And so the guy thought, man, this is great. I'll just let her give a testimony one Sunday. And so she did. She testified about how God met her need. God answered her prayer. Well, the pastor realized he'd done the wrong thing about the middle of the week when he got a call from a concerned mother of a 13-year-old. And this concerned mother said, Pastor, I'm just so disappointed because ever since that testimony on Sunday, my son, every night before he goes to bed, he gets under the covers and I see he's got this bikini hanging above his bed. And she said, I'm just worried sick about him. So we got to be careful with the model. This is a model prayer. It's not just to be rote, recited. It's to be used, and every aspect of it is a part of our prayer lives. Jesus wants us to grow in each area. And so last week, we looked about the first part of the prayer. Look at it there. Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we learned last week that first of all, the Lord's Prayer starts with intimacy. He's our Father. We can relate to Him. We can go to Him as our Heavenly Father. But we also see here that we need to recognize God's majesty. God is holy. His name is to be honored as holy. He's powerful. He's mighty. And so when we have the right perspective and we come to Him in intimacy because we know Him as our Savior and as our Heavenly Daddy, we also recognize His majesty. Then the last part of the message last week is that we'll see and respond to God's priority. What's His priority? That we worship Him. And we worship Him by showing Him how important He is to us and by letting others know how important He is. And that's missions. So worship and missions follow. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So tonight, let's just go right to the next phrase. We'll just look at the next phrase here in the Lord's Prayer, right after in verse 11. Give us each day our daily bread. Or as it says in the Christian Standard, as I read from, give us today our daily bread. So I want to think about the implications of that part of the prayer tonight. What is Jesus trying to teach us with this phrase? Give us today our daily bread. I believe He can teach us a great deal just from this simple phrase that we're going to think about tonight. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about this part of the model prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time we have together and to look at Your word. And Lord, also allow Your spirit to stir our hearts through Your word. And I thank You for this model prayer. I understand that Jesus preached this model prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And He also modeled it for His disciples because they asked Him, Lord, will You teach us how to pray? And so tonight, Lord, before we get into this text, I'm asking You, will You teach us how to pray more effectively? How to understand communicating with You? And Lord, we understand first and foremost, it's just talking to You like we talk to a friend or a loved one. But yet it's so powerful because You're the King of the universe. And as someone said once, all of the storehouses of God's heaven are wrapped up in prayer. And there is power in prayer. And you want us to learn and grow in our prayer lives. And we're longing for revival, and we're trying to grow, and we're exploring and growing and stretching ourselves through the awakening. So just help us tonight. Teach us how we can be better prayer warriors and better at personal prayer. And again, better worshipers of you, because we love you and we're so thankful for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, most of us, I would venture to say, never have and never will struggle with being hungry. Now, I'm not talking about hungry like I'm hungry for dinner after the service tonight. I'm talking about people that are hungry to the point that they are starving. Most of us would never say that, and would never ask this question, when am I going to eat again? No, we ask questions like, where are we going to eat tonight? It's a big difference. So when we first see this, give us today our daily bread, it doesn't really connect with us. We don't understand it. But you know what? There's a lot of people that do understand it. The people in Jesus' day certainly understood that. Most of the people who were hearing Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount were day laborers. In other words, they worked by the day. They didn't know where they were going to go work the next day, or if they were going to work, or even where their next meal was going to come from. It was just common in that day. You know, there's still people today that are like that. I did a little research on my phone before the sermon tonight, and today, this is from UNICEF, there are 957 million people across 93 countries who don't have enough to eat. Matter of fact, 237 million of them, their very lives are threatened today because of hunger. That's another issue for another day. I really don't have time to unpack that today. But asking the Lord for daily bread is a very valid prayer for a lot of people. But for us, I think we need to go beyond that, because listen, this is not just modeling a prayer about food. All right, he's not just asking about bread or about food. It's really about faith. Placing your faith daily in Jesus. And so there's some perspectives that we want to think through tonight. Because most of us will never face physical hunger, but all of us face daily situations in our lives. Situations that bring anxiety. Maybe they're financial situations. Maybe they're relational situations. Or maybe they're health concerns. There's not a one of us in this room that aren't anxious about something. There's something that's weighing on you tonight. What do you do with that? What do you do with that anxiety? Well, I don't know if you're like me. I like to hang on to it. But what if there was a better way to live? What if you didn't have to hang on to that anxiety? If you could actually leave it with the Lord? Because I believe that's what Jesus is asking us to do here. Just like he was literally asking people who didn't know where their next meal was coming from. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. He's asking us tonight to place our faith in him to meet our daily needs. That's what this prayer is really all about. So sometimes we wonder, and we can't help it, we wonder, am I saving enough money for retirement? Do I have enough money to make ends meet? What's going to happen at this doctor's visit tomorrow or next week? Is the chemotherapy working? This relationship is not in good shape. How am I ever going to pull it back together? You know what? We can be anxious about those things, or we can give them over to the Lord and let the Lord strengthen us and grow us. And that's what I believe Jesus is dealing with. So let me just share three thoughts tonight. Three thoughts from this phrase, give us today our daily bread. And I hope that it'll help you with the anxieties that you face in your life. That's what my prayer is tonight. It'll help you in your daily prayer life in this model prayer that Jesus has given us. Here's point number one. Jesus' prayer teaches us, jot this down, that if it matters to us, it matters to God. Boy, that's a very important thing. If it matters to us, it matters to God. Because I really think that even as Christians, a lot of us feel like, well, I don't really need to trouble God with this. God, man, he's ruling, he's reigning over the world right now. It says that he rules over kings and kingdoms and all these things. He doesn't have time for my petty issues. My matters are really small in comparison. But Jesus is telling us here, if it's a big deal in my life, if it's something that I'm wrestling with, if I have anxiety, I can be assured it matters to my Heavenly Father. God cares about the things that trouble me, whatever they are. God has compassion on us. He's a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus is teaching here in prayer. God is not on the other side of the universe, just distantly watching you. He's concerned about you. He really cares about your daily lives. So jot this down as a bullet point. God cares about every detail of our lives. I stole that from Jimmy Scroggins in our Three Circles presentation. That's the first part of the Three Circles. God cares about every detail of our lives. And that's true all through Scripture. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So God is concerned about your everyday needs. Psychological, material, physical, relational. And this is good news, because sometimes we feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands. Sometimes that's not really the right way to think. I could show you some scriptures that would prove otherwise. But you think, man, I'm all alone. I really don't have anybody to go to about these problems that I'm dealing with. God says you can go to Him. Throughout His ministry, Jesus was concerned about people. Who did Jesus go to? He went to marginalized people. People that others wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. He went to people that were hurting. People that were sinful. People that were sick. People that were desperate. And Jesus brought restoration to desperation time and time and time again. He was concerned about the big needs, like in Mark chapter 8, verse 2, where it says, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat." And by the way, if you look at that context, you're thinking right now, he's talking about when Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, in verse 1, it says that in those days, there was again a large crowd. This isn't the feeding of the 5,000. This is another crowd of 4,000 people that had gathered. And Jesus took time to meet each one of their needs individually, their material, physical needs. He fed them miraculously. And by the way, he used the disciples to feed them. That's another story for another time. Jesus was concerned about the needs that were bigger, regarding numbers, but he was also concerned about individual needs of individual people. I believe that's why Jesus taught this later on in Matthew chapter 6. Again, this is the same sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, but he had these words to say about people who are filled with anxiety, people who are anxious, people like you and me if we're really honest about it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or what your body and what you'll wear." Again, think about these day laborers he's talking to. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? And then he says in verse 26, "Consider the birds of the sky." Think about these birds. Who takes care of the birds? The birds aren't worrying about things. These birds that we hear out there tonight that are beautifully singing, they're not worrying about where their next meal is going to come from. They're not worrying because they trust the Lord. And your heavenly Father does feed them. Jesus says, aren't they worth more? Or he says, aren't you worth more than they are? And then he sums it up in verse 34. "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow." But listen to this, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that interesting? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Definitely think about today. So what he's saying is, when you have these immediate needs, these ordinary things that you have to deal with and all of us deal with in our lives, lay them down at the feet of Jesus. That's the perspective. That's the mindset he wants us to live by. Don't say, this is too small for me to go to God about. If you've got a worry, a concern, an anxiety, take them to the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. So you see, God is the ultimate source of supply. And we can expect him to meet our needs. It's not wrong for us to expect him to meet our needs. Now, here's where we've got to be careful. I said needs, not greeds. A lot of times we pray for things, and really when I look back on it, I think, I can't believe I brought that to the Lord. That was so self-centered. No wonder he didn't answer that. God's not going to give you something that you don't need. But you can't expect him to meet your needs, especially if you're his child. If you know him as Father and you've been saved and born again, I believe we should expect him to meet our needs. After all, in Psalm 145, verses 14 and 16, it says, "The Lord helps all who fall. He raises up all who are oppressed. All eyes look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. So bread here that he's talking about is a need. It's the necessities that we have in life. We need to expect God to meet our needs. That's a mindset. You ought to live in expectancy that God is going to move. He's going to come through. My God is with me. I may not know how he's going to do it. It may not be like I expect him to do it, but God is going to meet my needs. And so God's hand is open to us. So Jesus invites us to pray. I forgot about this point. Jesus invites us to pray about everything that matters to us. Everything. What he's saying here is, I love you. I care about you. I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of you and supply what you need this very day. This day. So that's the first thing. But now let's take it a step further. Let's kind of focus in on this word day. Give us today our daily bread. This prayer teaches me, and I've already hinted at it already, point number two, that we live in daily dependence on God. Daily dependence on God. Jesus said we're to ask for what we need daily, every day. So we depend on him to sustain us, to keep us going, to get us through the experiences of life daily. I know you don't like that right now. I don't like that either. As Americans, we love self-sufficiency. We love that old phrase, I like to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'll call on God when I need him. But every day, I sound weak if I have to depend on God every day. And I really don't need to depend on God. I've got, Pastor, I've got this and that. Listen, you don't have enough. I don't care how much money you've got in the bank. I don't care how well healed you are, how well connected you are, how popular you are, how healthy you are. You need God daily. I need him daily. Jesus is teaching us to daily depend on God. And the classic case for that, the classic story that shares that or proves that is over in Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. Y'all remember that story? The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. And what are they doing? I'll give you one guess what they're doing. They're grumbling. They're grumbling because they're hungry. They're physically hungry. They're wandering around in the wilderness and they don't have enough to eat. And they're so worried and anxious about it that they're thinking foolishly. You ever get that way? Do you ever think foolishly? You get so desperate, you think foolishly. There's another lesson in there. They're so foolishly and they're foolish in their thinking that they're like, you know what? It'd be better for us just to go back to Egypt. Just to go back to slavery. Man, we had good food there. And they start thinking about the good old days and they're better than they really think they were. And so, they're thinking about going back to slavery. And Moses says, I've got to intercede for these guys. That's what he would do. And so he goes to the Lord, and you all know the story. God says, tell him I'm going to feed him. I'm going to feed him every day. And this is how I'm going to do it. And you see it up there on the screen, how he's going to rain bread from heaven. And the people are going to go out each day and they're going to gather their food. And what happened when they tried to go out and get ahead of themselves and gather too much? Well, it didn't work. It spoiled. But every day, and I don't have time to go all the way through that tonight, but you can read that on your own. But every day, God provided manna from heaven. And so every day, God took care of them for how many years? For 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. 40 years, they never missed a meal. God met their needs. It may not have been exactly what they were hoping for. It may not have been filet mignon, but God met their daily needs. And that's what he's talking about here. But it was a daily dependence on God. And so I believe Jesus is teaching us to daily depend on God. In fact, this is your bullet point if you want to write it down. Jesus wants us to develop a day-by-day mentality in prayer. I'm not saying you can't ever plan for the future. I'm not saying that you shouldn't think past today. Really, we should. We should be good planners. We should be good stewards of what God has given us. But we need to daily go before the Lord and say, Father, I'm depending on you today. And even if you don't think you need him that day, you need him more than you think. And I'll tell you what, that is transformational in your daily life. If you just learn to live with a daily dependence on God. Now, honestly, there's times and days I know I need him. You got a big, appointment coming up. Or you've got a court date coming up. Or you've got this or that or the other. You don't know how you're going to pay for your truck tomorrow, your house payment or whatever. You know you need him that day. But I'm just talking about the everyday ebb and flow of life, living in daily dependence on the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8, we see Moses giving his final instructions to the children of Israel. So he's giving his last sermon to them. Don't you imagine he was fired up? And so he says, "Don't you forget the Lord. He's the one who brought you through all this, out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land. Your whole situation is about to change in the promised land." What's he saying? You're not going to be existing on manna and quail from heaven anymore. You're going into the promised land. That's a bountiful place, a land of milk and honey. Don't you forget about your daily dependence on God. That's what Moses is saying here. You're going to have life better than you've ever had it before. And you better not forget to daily depend on the Lord. Jesus wants us to embrace our total dependence on Him. And again, we don't like that very much, but we totally depend on Him. We're depending on Him to forgive us of our sins, to save us and cleanse us, and to keep us in a right relationship with the Lord. We're depending on Him for all kinds of things every day. And so, when I'm fully trusting in God, do you know that takes so much weight off me? It takes weight off me as a pastor. Sometimes I'll tell you what, you can feel the weight of pastoring. And not just on Sunday morning when you're preaching a message, but when you've got a counseling ministry and somebody's coming to talk to you and you know their marriage is on the rocks, or they've got a problem with a substance, an addiction, or they're hurting, or maybe they're suicidal. What have I got to offer them? I don't know what to say to them. Well, you know what? I can rely on the Lord. I can depend on the Lord. And the Lord has helped me to do that. I'm not smart enough to counsel. I'm not wise enough to help people. But with God's help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm just giving you my own personal testimony here. It's a better way to go through life, daily, depending on God. Charles Spurgeon once was asked if he were dragged onto the village square at noon the next day, and he was going to be martyred for Christ, and that was going to happen the very next day at noon. Somebody asked him, "Sir, would you have the strength to stand strong?" He said, "No, I wouldn't, but I would at noon tomorrow." And see what he's talking about there? He's talking about that daily dependence on God. Don't live, we're never independent of God. We live in daily dependence. And when we do that, that helps us with the anxieties that we face. Let me say, Jesus wants us to allow Him to help us with our anxiety and our fear through prayer. Put that down again. Jesus wants us to allow Him to help us with our anxiety and our fear through prayer. That's what this part of the model prayer is all about. That's the answer. That's the antidote to our anxiety. Now, you know, you can practice all kinds of things. And I know athletes do this, and sometimes other people in business do this. But the truth is, prayer is a tremendous help, a tremendous blessing. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And don't forget the next part of this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's how those three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I read about them recently, can stand in a ready to be thrown into a fiery furnace and stand there calm and cool and collected because they trust the Lord. No matter how it comes out, they know the Lord is going to be with them. He's going to give them the strength for the moment. Listen, have you ever said this before? Have you ever said, looked at somebody, maybe you love them and care about them. They're in your church. They're in your life group. There's somebody in your family and they're a Christian and you're a Christian and you see them really going through it. And you think, "Man, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you're making it through." And you know what? You don't know. You're like, I don't think I could ever handle that. Sometimes, I don't know if about you, I think about that when I think about people who are in persecuted countries like Afghanistan or Iraq or places like that, where they might give their lives for Christ. I'm thinking, "Man, I'd probably be a wimp if I were in a situation like that." But you know what? I'm not sure that's the right thinking. If I learn to daily depend on God, I may not be facing that right now, but God would give me the strength for whatever it is that I need to face. And that's what he's trying to say here. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety. It gives us the strength to face the day and to conquer the day and to be what God wants us to be. So the lesson here is depend on God daily. And when God sends you help, don't ask questions. Don't question God. Just trust God. Trust God through it. It's like a story I heard about a stressed out mother. This mother was feeling all of the weight of her daily life and the situation she had. Her child had been sick quite a bit and had missed some school, a young girl she had, a little girl. And here's another personal day she had to take off work, and she didn't have the money for it. And she's home tending to her child. Her child's running a fever. So she calls in a prescription. She's got to go and get the prescription. She goes to the pharmacy. She's just going to run in and get it right quick. And wouldn't you know it, she locks her keys in the car. And so she just, at that point, she's in despair. She throws her head in her hands and says, "Lord, you just got to help me. I can't take anymore. I've got to have some help. I need you to help me get this car open somehow right now." Well, she finds a little coat hanger down on the ground on the parking lot, picks it up. She says, like, "This is going to help me. I don't know how to use this. I don't know how I'm going to get in there and get it." And all of a sudden, this motorcycle pulls up. And this guy gets off the motorcycle, and he's tatted up. And, I mean, he's got a skull cap on, and he just looks rough. He looks like the roughest kind of guy you'd ever expect. But he comes up to him and says, "Ma'am, is there something wrong?" And she says, "Well, I can't get into my car. I've locked my keys in the car. I'm trying to get this prescription, get home to my daughter who's sick, got a fever. I'm missing a day of work. I just need help." He says, "I can help you." And she said, "Would you please help me? Can you use this hanger to get in the car?" "Absolutely." So he takes it, and about a minute later, the door is unlocked and she's in the car, or getting ready to get in the car. And so she hugs him. She says, "Oh, thank you so much." She says, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending this kind, gentle man to help me with my problem." Guy said, "Kind, gentle man?" She said, "Lady, you don't know me very well." He said, "I've got a record. I just got out of the state pen." And she hugged him again and said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for sending me not only a kind man, but a professional." And so we don't always ask questions. We just trust God to provide. So this is a second point of the daily bread. Jesus wants us to trust him daily with our daily needs. Third point. Jesus' prayer teaches us, now don't miss this either, that we are not the only ones that need bread. Give us today our daily bread. He doesn't teach us to pray my daily bread, although that's part of it, our daily bread. It's not me or my, it's us and our. So again, here's this idea that we're connected to a family. We have a Heavenly Father and we're connected together. And so I'm to bring my needs to God. That's petition. But I'm also to be willing to pray for the needs of others around me. That's intercession. Listen, intercession is a great privilege that is a joy and a tremendous service that God will use in a powerful way. Think about the fact that intercession is in Jesus' model prayer. If I read Jesus right and what he's saying here in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't pray like Jesus and not pray for others. You've got to have others in mind. Now, there's never a time where you're not praying for yourself. But as we grow as Christians, listen, when we're little baby Christians, I know how it is because I was one. We're praying for ourselves. Our prayer lives are like this for petition. Intercession's way down here, if we even think about it at all. But as we grow, it evens out. We still need to petition God, but we also bring intercession. How powerful intercession is. You see, you can't pray like Jesus and not accept your responsibility. We have a responsibility to one another. And so in a life group, we challenge our life groups to pray for one another. And some of you guys do this so tremendously. You know, you'll check with one another and you're praying daily for one another. And how wonderful that is. And others that we know in the church, you need to keep a prayer journal. You need to keep those lists we hand out on Wednesday night. We just don't print them up to keep Linda busy. They're prayer needs. That's intercession. And they're ongoing needs. And you can help meet those needs in a way that only God knows by praying faithfully. And we've talked about that before. That little illustration I gave you about that woman in Texas, how she faithfully prayed and how God moved through her prayers. That's an awesome story. And I love that story that Paige Patterson told. So as you grow in your personal prayer life, you should be growing as an intercessor. Give us today our daily bread. You should be growing as an intercessor. You have an opportunity. You have an obligation to stand in the gap for people that you love and care about and people that are in your life and maybe people who aren't in your life. And it's incredible. When you start praying for others regularly, God does things that only God can do. God might even bring revival if you'll just start praying regularly for people. After all, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effect." And so we've all known people like that. I'll tell you what, there was a young lady, there's a lady that was my Sunday school teacher when I was a young boy. And her name was Nellie Simpson. And she was about 4'11", just a short little lady, but a sweet lady. And that lady was a woman that taught us a lot. I remember she was my Sunday school teacher when I got saved. And so I was under deep conviction. Everything that lady was saying, man, it was just penetrating my heart. And so I got saved when she was my Sunday school teacher. Well, now fast forward several years later, and I surrendered to ministry. And I'm going through seminary, trying to get finished at Midwestern, and I'm serving in my home church for a period of time. About 2 years I served in Richland. I was a minister of evangelism. And so I went to go visit Miss Nellie Simpson, and she's in a care center in Lebanon by this time. And I go up and see her, and I'll tell you, I'm kind of dreading it. Because I'm thinking, you know, she's older now. I know she's not well. I know she's not going to be here very long. I know how depressing it is when you go to a care center. And I'm just telling you how I'm thinking. This is a young pastor. I'm thinking, what do I have to say to her to really encourage her? And she's going to be depressed, and it's just going to be sad. But I prayed anyway, and I said, Lord, just help me to know what to say to her, to encourage her, because I love this lady. She was my Sunday school teacher when I accepted you. And I get in there, and I get into her room, and Miss Nellie is vibrant. She's smiling. She's happy. She's joyful. And she's like she's got the world by the tail. And I thought, you know what? She can't teach Sunday school anymore. She can't do anything that she used to do. She used to sing in the choir. She had all these things she would do. She had ladies over to her home for prayer time. And I thought, what gives her this joy, this sense of purpose right now? And she showed me, very similar to this lady that Paige Patterson talked about, she showed me a book, I kid you not, a journal that she had. And she even had to have nurses help her write names in it because she couldn't see very well anymore. And she was praying for people in the church. And she said, David, here's your name. I pray for you. I'm so thankful God's brought you back to Richland, back to this church for right now. And so that lady had purpose and meaning and joy because of intercessory prayer. You're never too old. You're never too young. You're never too new of a Christian. You're never too old of a Christian. All of us can engage in intercessory prayer. And God will use it in a mighty way. Let me tell you another story, and I'll close out tonight, about a great prayer warrior who relied on daily intercessory prayer. And if you've never read about this guy, you need to get a book. I've got a book in my library I'll give to you that you can read, or loan to you that you can read. George Mueller. George Mueller. There he is. That's a picture of him. Now, he was a saint of God who lived in the 19th century in England. And he was a pastor. But he was a man who did a lot of other things, totally relying on prayer. Matter of fact, if you read in his biography, he kept a journal. So I believe he actually tracked it. He believed that God answered some 50,000 specific prayer requests that he made all throughout his Christian years. Mueller prayed about everything. And guess what? He expected God to answer his prayers. And so God moved on him at one point in his life to start an orphanage. He was already a pastor, but he would get in and around the streets of London, and he saw all these orphan kids. You know, they didn't have welfare back then. They didn't have social programs. And these kids were literally on the streets starving to death. So he's a Christian man. He's a pastor. He said, you know, I'm going to do something about it. And he started an orphanage. Guess what? Orphanages cost money. It takes money. But this is what's unique about George Mueller. And this was just his own personal conviction. I'm not sure I totally agree with this. But he refused to go to anybody personally. He never asked anybody for a dime. He went to God on his knees daily. And he asked God to meet his daily need to help support this orphanage. And day after day, you can read about it in his biography, God would meet him at that moment of need. And money would come in unexpected ways, all kinds of ways. Somebody would just say, I felt compelled to give you this check or this money today. And so he was able to keep the orphanage thriving and growing. And I don't know how many orphans he served in his time. I think over 10,000, if I remember right. Well, let me tell you a story. One time there was a boiler that stopped working in the orphanage. And it was right in the middle of winter. Coldest part of winter, it was rainy and cold, and so the weather was getting worse, and he needed that resolved right away. And the workers were trying, but they just weren't very efficient. They weren't getting there on time, and so he went to the Lord and prayed about it. And he prayed, first of all, that the workers would have a mind to work throughout the night, and second, that the weather would let up, and that it wouldn't be quite so cold. Well, the Tuesday came when work was to start, and guess what? A bitter north wind was blowing out of the north, and it was cold, and didn't look like anything was going to happen. But right about the time the workers arrived, a south wind started to blow, And it was so mild for that time of year that they didn't even need any fires to heat the building on that day. And that night, the foreman came back after they'd worked all day long. And he said, you guys need to get home, get some rest, and you need to report back first thing in the morning. Because we got to get this completed for this man. This orphanage has to, this boiler has to get fixed. And the guy said, we would prefer to go ahead and work through the night. And they did that. And they worked through the night, and the boiler was, the job was done in about 30 hours. And that happened again and again and again for this man, who wasn't anything special. He was a pastor, but just a common Christian who relied daily on the Lord. One more, and then I'll wrap it up tonight, because I love this story. This is one of my favorite Mueller stories. Another time, he was on a ship bound for England. So he, by this time, he's fairly famous, and so he's leaving, he was leaving England and going to Canada. He had to preach in a service in Canada. And of course, they didn't fly back then, so he's on a ship. And so he's supposed to be there by Saturday for a meeting. And there's this terrible fog that sets in on the ship. And so the captain comes to him and says, Pastor Mueller, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to be able to keep your engagement on Saturday night. You're just not going to do it because this fog's too heavy. I've been a captain for a long time, and it's just not you're not going to get there. And listen to what Mueller says. He says, in 52 years, I've never broken an engagement. So let's go down to the chart room and pray. Well, the captain's not a believer. So he says, what kind of lunatic is this? I know what I'm talking about. I've been a captain for a long time, and he doesn't know anything. But he goes down there because he's curious. And so he goes down there, and this is what Mueller says. My eye is not on the fog. My eye is on the living God who has never failed to meet me in 57 years. And he's not going to fail me now. Isn't that awesome? Well, they get down there, and the captain says, well, I'll bow down and pray with him. And he says, don't. Don't do it. And the guy says, why? You don't want me to pray? He says, you don't believe it anyway. He says, just let me pray. And besides that, he said, the fog is now lifted because I've already prayed about it. And so they go back up the stairs, and sure enough, the fog is lifted. And he gets there on time, and he actually gets to preach his engagement. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Listen, some of us, we're living our lives in a fog of anxiety, a fog of discontent, a fog of just wondering, where's God in all this? Maybe we just need to listen to Jesus. Give us today our daily bread and just start relying on him daily for our needs. Give us today our daily bread. And one more thing about that. You know, Jesus meets our material needs. That's what we've talked about tonight. But he's also the bread of life. He's the bread that came down from heaven that promises eternal life. So trust him to meet your spiritual needs as well. He'll do it. He'll do it. Moses, it says in that passage in John chapter 6, I'm not sure which verse, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's Jesus. That's who we go to each and every day. Father, we love you and we're thankful for this lesson we've had tonight from the model prayer. And I'm wanting to grow in my prayer life. I know I need to grow. And I know that I need to daily rely on you. Lord, I need to recognize that if it matters to me, it matters to you. Because I'm your child. You care about me. Now, I may not think properly about something, and there may be something that I've just got a skewed perspective or maybe a selfish perspective. But Lord, you care about me. And you long to meet my needs. You long to give good gifts to your children. And so I thank you for that privilege. Thank you that I can go to you expectantly. Lord, I'm thankful that I can daily go to you and daily depend on you. Lord, it used to seem like I was weak if I would live that way because you made me a man, and that's kind of being masculine. We think we got to handle things on our own. But now, Lord, I wouldn't want to live any other way than daily dependent on you. I'll sure never get cocky that way because I know I need you. I know I'm not good enough, strong enough, smart enough to handle anything that you've allowed me to do as your ambassador. So I'll just choose to rely on you daily, depend on you to daily take care of my daily needs. And Lord, also in that, I'm thankful for discovering the power of intercession and the joy of intercession, the thrill of getting to pray for my brothers and sisters, sometimes not even knowing why I'm praying for them. But you just lay somebody on my heart, and I just faithfully bring them before you because you're one who used me to meet a need that only you can meet. Thank you for the power of intercession. Thank you for how that bonds us together. Man, just to know that I've got brothers and sisters praying for me as I try to serve as a pastor or as a good husband, be a good father. Lord, just to know I've got parents that pray for me. I had a praying mother and praying father. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Thank you for the joy of intercession. Lord, I pray that we'd become a church that really makes prayer a priority. As I've thought about revival, and I've thought about what's lacking in my life and in our world and in our country and in our church, and not being political or anything, that's what it is. It's that intimate relationship with you, that daily dependence on you, trusting you to meet our needs and meet us where it seems like there's no way. And Lord, there is a fog. There's a dense fog around us today. A fog that comes from tension between races and politics and, Lord, all kinds of things. But Lord, just like George Mueller, we can rely on you, and we can make it to our destination if we'll just daily depend on you and walk with you intimately. Thank you for the promises found in this tremendous prayer by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet now. Steve's going to come and lead us in a closing invitation hymn. And if God has spoken to your heart and you want to come for some type of decision tonight or want to pray at this altar, you can do that right now as we sing, "Just As I Am."